Thank you. Thanks, everyone. It's really such a pleasure to be here. This is the very first time I've ever read an Ireland, so I'm absolutely thrilled to be here. It's the first time I've actually been to Ireland.
All done.
I thought I'd read a poem to start off with, two poems from my last collection, and with an Australian poem, two Australian poems. So the first one is called At West Head, and West Head is in a national park in Sydney, and it has a really spectacular view over Pittwater, Sydney Harbour, and you can see Palm Beach, Barrenjoey Head to the east, and to the north you can see Lion Island and a part of the coastline that I used to live in as well. So it's really spectacular. At West Head. There's nothing pure. In this light, everything is polarized. The sea spills dark letters, a shifting alphabet. We stand, half a shadow on the beach. Me, knowing that I'm still searching meaning, though I've stopped searching love. Our solitude broken by a kookaburra, a crow, a buoy on the rocks, casting out a fishing line. The sky is altered with methane, and everywhere signs of industry, a rusted can of carpet cleaner, a broken-lipped styrofoam cup, an oil leak colouring the freshwater stream. Nature's choked with similes, anthills like pyramids, a termite mound the size of a helmet. Death too is artifact, a forgery traced in his basket weave of leaf litter, or the flowering banksia shaved from its root. Pink clouds meld into the horizon over pit water, blending sky and sea in such seductive haze that the headlands seem to be drifting like all definitions. Now this one's called Kissing Hamlet. A sparrow falls by providence, and the evening sky is smeared indigo. I won't repeat our darling word dusk, since breaking old habits is a new promise. Sometimes the heart locks before it dangles, ready for releasing. Something in the amorphous shape the trees espouse at this time of day is a resistance to anything particular or complex, as if a more subtle variation were possible. A toning down of contrast makes the hour innate for us a kind of yielding. We are something, you say, and I try to believe. But even as I write, the sky's streaks fade, the bells of cloud formations begin to disappear, obeying Newton's third law, that for every act in this universe, there is an equal and opposite one. Today, I walked the streets observing what I'd missed of late, a white magnolia in full bloom, with delicately scented petals, chaste as Ophelia, among the topiary plants. A house in ruins becoming some ugly new development. And, of course, I thought of us, that hole we cut in the stillness of evening when the heart is disposed to abandon the thought of never wanting this to stop. The heart is mute but cries out in protest. Be free. What are you afraid of? Advice I tested last night at the opera bar. I kissed the princely lips of madness, Hamlet himself, after the proscenium, not yet drunk. His eyes untamed, a little lost perhaps. I trembled, but he didn't seem to mind, and I was glad, recalling a soliloquy which speaks of fate's occasion being fickle, how the end is ever present, how the readiness is all. The harbour slapped softly, in Luna Park the Ferris wheel turned. At least every so often it is good to tremble. And somehow the moment cured me of the incomplete metaphor of madness I had taken for myself. So moments change us, the evening bleeds and bruises. Words come to me as freely as a sparrow falls, unfastened by the sky. Okay, I don't know why I'm so nervous. Themed on human and non-human animal migrations. And it takes from its inspiration the idea of the herring women of Scotland who sort of went from port to port, and the way that, in a way, I guess, that the fishing industry was such an industry of the migrating fish, and it was economically exploited in some ways and exploited their lives, but the way that it also made of them migrants. And I'm also obviously very interested in that, having travelled much in my own life, and sometimes I think of myself as an economic refugee, really, from the third world. And so a lot of my work is not just my poetry, but also my non-poetry work is interested in migration and the movement of people, as I guess we're all very interested in now and concerned about as well. So anyway, I'll read this poem. The herring. Not far from the stone harbour, herring kilns pump wood smoke, smudged into an enterprise of masts and the hemp rigging of a whole fleet outward bound. Her knife flashes in 4-second strokes. Her wet hands never stray from a salted barrel. There are knots in her scarf the size of a child's fist. She counts each silver piece tossed over the shoulder. Eye, hand, and index finger outwit the boundless sea. All day, men bustle in the courtyard. Children stray. A blacksmith smites metal. Fishermen wait on a shilling, whittle a stick along the wall, no word exchanged. She tramps from port to port, from quail to pit and wing, the day unfinishing, her children yet to be fed. The sailmaker, cooper, boat builder have all prospered. She stands by a trough in the dark, guttering cold, black hull's heel under press of lug sails, foremasts low. They drift with shoals of migrant herring, the sea returns. Edge of empire. All winter they slept at Scarra Brae, their rocks empty. They dreamt of ivory and afterlife. They fed their herds grain. When they woke, Romans had marched to the stone forts of the mainland. Grammatici brought staffs, grids, and a senator's remittance. But there was no caesura, no straight lines at the edge of empire. The wall was porous, grafted, a milestone coursing between firths. It was like Palestine or Berlin in theory, a decumanus dividing tribes, farmlands, lords, libations for new gods, bright silver coins, the frontier subsidies. Surveyors reckoned the lie of the land in turf, in clay numerics. But nothing could drive out the barbarians. Okay, this is one of my sonnets, and it's called Swans. Here in Orkney, they timeshare as winter voyagers, undisciplined pacifists, neither sentinel nor apsara. A splash of colour on the bill is tarred as a virtue, refusing to fall. The eye keeps faithful to the sky gods, knowing the powder of white water, the Nordic crags. The throat's dying tone is a clarion to which I woke one Arctic night from my tent on the island. Against the sky's green streamers, they passed like gold leaf, each captive pair, master and slave, returning to nest, to feed on potato chats, the grain stubble. I knew then, no prayer or piety would convert these birds from patent territorial white. They are certain to hunger, to haunt the estuaries in genetic script. There are no stichomythic verses, no Viking battles or baptism in their dreams. So in West Africa, there's like a very simple boat, it's called pirogue. I don't know if you guys have heard of it, but the fishermen there, just the local fishermen, their waters have been fished out. Some of them tried to get to Spain, and but the idea of like sailing one of these vessels all the way to Spain and then trying to make their way to Europe, it just kind of like, I don't know, it's just got me in the guts, and I wrote this poem, it's called Pirogue. And a lot of the reason, there's just no future there, their waters have been fished out. Pirogue. A boy, I dreamed of being a captain in the ocean's foreign policy, catching the fast currency, binding my pirogue with the rope to hold back the breakers. Listen, today a jazz singer drowned. The infringing Atlantic shipped pirates to winch poaching flags as Senegal's men scrape in the rotting sweatshop. If only stories were like drift nets hurled farther than Rosetta time, but comets are spun, desiccating colonies, and oceans a chagrin, the frayed trellis of Sardinia. Our fish are emigres. There's no mercy for the spawning flurry. Our blood flows west, dragged under tow from Saloon to Seine, where Europe serves her sovereign ministries. banks, NGO charities flog our sick children. We'd starve if not for bush food, tortoise or dolphin meat. Our villages flood, leave us licking silk-stained boabs, rum-soaked palms. But I am one of Senghor's thin-legged migrant sons, too proud to beg for breadfruit, hungry for Spain. Listen, today we threw a decomposing body overboard and prayed. And that poem references Leopold Senghor, who was one of Senghor's poets and politicians. And I don't know if you know his work, but it's really interesting to check out. And he sort of like theorised about negritude, which is a about like what was an African identity in the 1930s as opposed to a dominant European identity. So he was one of the first guys to think about that. I might just read something that's maybe a little bit less metaphoric, more on the just more narrative side. This is called Interlude. It was school vacation, my daughter skiing with her father, my husband in board meetings, minor birds drumming on the window panes, autumn gifts, my dearest ex in a condo in KL. True friendships don't crowd us, they're not a phrase book. But it was just a brief I felt in his apartment, a stopover, sufficient to release claustrophobic stanzas one by one, a sorrow unclenching in silence. Shopping at KL Central, the lap pool, gymnasium, the trees peeling outside. I could call it respite, forgiveness. I was at odds with bureaucracy. The clinics who treat psychiatrics like offenders, gagging them with psychotropic drugs, they surfaced gas-filled whales buoyed into my office while Indonesian boats sank their cargo, politicians waged. I could write more, hours spent in earshot of innocent men, tried by narrow halls, waiting for visas, medical assessments or suicide. I could detail the security frauds, bribery, typhoid, children turned by the hands of frustrated men like outdated dictionaries. Or I could mention the Rohingya Burmese father of four, closing the door in haste, unlocking suitcases to scribble down their UNHCR ID on the back of some food coupon, the sound of a hose filling buckets of water for the day's quota, his exquisite wife. Perhaps I should confess how prohibited I felt, ferrying back to a five-star hotel in the evening's pollution, encrusted lights of traffic. I had no appetite for dinners, swimming laps late without purpose. Hibiscus swishes calmed my treacherous lungs. How I forgot everything I knew. Here's another animal poem. It's called Bear. The iceberg carved, trapping the belugas, for what seemed endless as winter, its crystal light. I had been walking against wind, the blue ridge of massives. Hungry, I had drifted towards the town. I sniffed the dead seal, dragged it 20 metres from the shed. My neck throbbed, I slugged air. A boy on patrol whispered, jumpy. He smelt me, the intruder. Gave a warning shot and reloaded. The inui know the fabric of my flesh, my pelt. Our rule is eat or be killed. Every tracker perseveres. We are kin forced on shore. It became a necessary disruption. The quotas outdone, the ice melting. This time I'm stranded, airlifted back to the flows. Am I confused? I gash the whales that they dive. No, I did not ask to be photographed on this plinth. Starvation and exhaustion have not cheated me. I'll never forget the seal, the odour of his wet fur, his smell altering mine, blood leaking from his heft, like a river discolouring the sanitation of snow. Wind blasted the storm petrels. I could barely stand. Dog, otter, forgetful squire, how long must I wait in this jumble with my blind, translucent mess? For the frenzied scent of hounds rifles our halt. Norse pagans came after you left when I broke a little. Our pups huddled, whined like birds, flummoxed as by the scruff I seized each one, nudged to a nascent dive. Baptized in algae, petroleum blooms, they flushed in the lake's oily shallows to pop like velvet corks or lotteries. Their fingers knot in prayer, suckled, they dream of snow slides, shooting weeds, the bladder rack of your deep. What have you plucked from mud? I watch the homeless crows, eagles quiz your riddle, my proxy, never to return. Scraps slithered, crushed fishbone. I sniff a little shuck of homecoming. The wind blows musk into my dreams. And this one's called The Castle. And I wrote this important thing in The Castle. A man is knocking hard, unannounced, hoping to make an appointment. He greets me as I return from the library, skirting mud, the damp grass. Mary, the housekeeper, is down with flu. Our chef is pumping weights at the gym. You are on a train to London, a priceless alibi, and I, a village girl in stockings, could be your messenger. I call to say the surveyor has arrived to make an appointment. Why can't he be a surveyor today? I have in mind a poem about Kafka's castle, but my sympathy turns from Amelia to the vacant, water-damaged lodge where the carpet has been stripped and is ready to be trashed like spam. While the man talks about rewiring a menial chair surrounded by piles of signed, handwritten letters from hopeful fellows, I fail to mention rain dripping like sap from the lintel beyond the drawing room where the river-esque decants, bending back on herself, a gift returned. I should pack or throw away tickets, receipts, maps and pamphlets I've collected, but that seems dull, a reminder of petty anxieties. Last night an invoice arrived from Vodafone in two different countries. I should take a walk along the river but can't face the ice wind, the days camera obscure, dark pines along the ridge, the river's braided veins, the cold mare. When are you coming back? You asked last week. I'm leaving tomorrow. not waiting for the taxi, not yet. Yesterday, as we were blown to the tower, its corseted window and gouged wall, snow beat against our faces, too bitter for grief. If you fall out there in the cold, you could die. There's no point resisting. You can't stay. Each one of us. But what we seek is rest. We are restless. The trees swither. Say stop. Soon the light will be lost. I could walk by the river. Even now, it's not too late. Somewhere a river. Before the lights, particle rays pencil to floating leaves, fingerlings. I've left him in a sea of sheets. He's dreaming a cold waste. A brace of snores drift through snow blankets, underwater eyes unseen. Deep to the surface, a totemic legend runs past my coracle. I rest in wood rot, salt licking the skin of my thigh. The scoop hem of a silk nightdress with its black trimming ties flutters in the breeze. Here, a lamprey eel's stone mouth gapes in frigid holes the ice composes like a riddle. A new moon spares the sky's spectacle, intuitively reticent, or maybe hardened by frost stars setting fire to the hills. Birds begin to trill their silent score for late dreams. The boat leaks, cloud water drawn in sapphire amulets to wrap my limbs. Morning will sprinkle the conifers, a lumen map or dictionary, if not the treaty concealed by my tarpaulin. I'd like to seed in a grave of mink, two-shone buffalo bones, or in a deep nest where sleeping fish wait to spawn. When the rapids come and the wild crocus shoots, the inconnu will abandon. For now, I'm frozen, somewhere between aquatic and terrestrial. I guess the river's arctic bend, imagine nautical light, reading the smoke. Let wildfires reach, groundwater springs rise, deadly the snow melting. Thank you.